Shores, El Pacifico.
Brought to you by Dynapet Micro Energy Shop.
Okay, your passion is coming off as erratic.
The state assembly did their job. Democrats in the assembly stood up.
This was a very difficult time in my life.
Hollywood's biggest night.
And it's
going to be a wide hump.
World famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And welcome here to the world famous Phil Henry Show. And tonight we unveil our newest look, which is our Phil TV, a new generation of our webcast. Right now I have a roller coaster I'm sitting in front of here. As it careens down a track in Las Vegas, and we're broadcasting from the El Pacifico, but we have multiple camera angles, we've got effects, and we're going to continue to improve on the video look. So go over to philhenryshow.com, get a backstage pass, and watch as we continue to improve the product, not just on the air, but online as well. 877-876-PHIL is the number here. Charlie Sheen goes on a media blitz today, saying he's sober and he's going to sue CBS. Governor Walker of Wisconsin gives the fleeing Senate Democrats an ultimatum, plus eco-friendly low-flow toilets in San Francisco cause a big stink, literally. Professor Emery Clayton joins us this hour to talk about Louis Farrakhan saying these uprisings in the Middle East will come to America. And I was at the Genesis Club here in Southern California this weekend to hear an address of Professor Clayton's, and he and I are going to talk about that. Our number is 877-876-7445, and our affiliate spotlight tonight is on WXNT, 1430 AM in Indianapolis, and WVOP, 970 AM in Vidalia, Georgia. Great affiliates on the Phil Henry Show network, and of course our website, philhenryshow.com. So check out our brand spanking new Phil TV videocast, the second generation of our videocast. And while you're online, go ahead and pick up a backstage pass and listen to our archives. We've got thousands of hours, and we continue to add to them, as well as our videocast, as well as our news feed, as well as our email, which I answered all of it this weekend, even though it's in form letter.
Yeah, I don't know how many people don't like that.
Well, at least I answered it, okay? Professor Emery Clayton joining us from L.A. Canyon College in Southern California as Louis Farrakhan, the Nation of Islam leader, predicted on Sunday that America faces imminent uprisings that mirror those in the Middle East. And I heard you speak last night, Professor Clayton, about this, and you seem to agree with Louis Farrakhan.
Well, I do agree with Louis Farrakhan, and I said as much at the Genesis Club address that I made last night, one that I was very grateful to see you at, Phil. And I heard the people who were there discussing afterward the veracity of these claims made by Minister Farrakhan. We can get into discussing what Minister Farrakhan said. But I've got a little bit of a bone to pick with you, young man.
And all right.
I've got a little bit of a bone to pick with you, because as I was giving my address and giving my reasons based upon some 250, if not 300 years of European colonial rule in North America, using the sweat of African slaves. And as I was giving historical precedent and citing historical reasons for what Minister Farrakhan said, I saw you in the front row, and you weren't the only one. And I will talk to those individuals that I saw in my own good time, but I saw you laughing at one point.
You saw me laughing when?
I don't recall at what point in the address, but I got the distinct impression you were not taking me seriously, and that's fine. I suppose a man has every right in the world to express his opinion, but I think I have every right in the world to express the following opinion.
Well, let me just, for if I was laughing, and I do recall laughing, it was at the notion that the Middle East uprisings are going to take root in the United States.
That was in essence the comments made by Minister Farrakhan, and he made those comments in Illinois. He said, well, you're looking at Tunisia, you're looking at Egypt, you're looking at Libya, you're looking at Bahrain. You'd better prepare because it's coming to your door.
Right, and that's when I left.
Yes, you left. And what I want to say on your program tonight was, it was, I don't think it was the kindest thing in the world to do, Phil. But I'm not worried for myself. I'm not worried for myself. I thought it was insulting to me because I'm an educated man. It's got nothing to do with Emory Clayton, the man, but it did have something to do with me as a professor.
You feel insulted that I left?
Of course I felt insulted that you left. Excuse me for a minute. I need some water.
Go ahead.
Of course I felt insulted. And I felt insulted because I am a professor of urban studies at a university here in the United States of America, and you've told me you don't even have a college degree. Is that correct?
I do not have a college degree, no. But let me just say this. I don't...
You don't have a college degree, and yet you sat and you laughed at me.
I wasn't laughing at you.
Well, then what were you laughing at?
I was laughing at the notion that you were, you know, I mean, I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at the notion. I wouldn't even be laughing, really, at Minister Farrakhan. I'm laughing at the idea that the Middle East uprisings are going to take root here in the United States. A completely different country sociologically, a completely different country politically, a completely different country historically.
And the people of color that live in this country, do you think there's some other kind of person of color that lives in Africa or lives in the Middle East?
Yes, I do, and I'll tell you why.
You do. So you say there is a different, what, do they have a tail?
No, but they are different culturally, politically, historically. If you're talking about black people or even Arab people in America, these are Arab American, African American. These are different people from the standpoint of upbringing, from the standpoint of socialization, from the standpoint of their orientation politically, from the standpoint, everything. They're North Americans, you know.
All right. You use a lot of big words. But what I am trying to tell you, Phil, is that no amount of big words, no amount of reading in a magazine and getting a big word out of it, is going to make up for the fact that you don't have a college education. And the people that are listening to your program, I think, are going to take their cue from you. And I know that a lot of people in America don't have college education. I know that a lot of people that are working third shift are not college educated.
All right, and what is the point? Are we not allowed to have opinions?
You are most certainly allowed to have an opinion, but it's not an informed opinion when it comes to debating me. My opinion is informed by the fact that I've got a college degree. My opinion is informed by the fact that I'm a college-educated black man. My opinion is informed by the fact that I am not only a college-educated black man, but I am a professor. I'm a teacher of these things. And for you to sit in the front row of my address and laugh and in so doing, denigrate my political point of view, I think needs to be pointed out and it needs to be straightened out. And
well, are you all right? So what did I say that you disagree with?
It's not a matter of me disagreeing with you. It's a matter of you disagreeing with me. And
well, that sounds a little arrogant, doesn't it?
I don't think it sounds arrogant when the facts are very clear. I am a man with a college degree. I am a man with a teacher's credential. I am a black man, and I am a man who is very aware of the societal influences you speak of, the socioeconomic and culture and so forth. Minister Farrakhan made a statement. I concur with it. Now, in the front row of my speech was you, a white man. Are you laughing at me? Now, that does not compute. And
well, you know, the laughter, it was a couple of points where I laughed, Professor Clayton, when I heard you saying that this is going to come sweeping into America. And
yes, but you don't have the, you do not have the training or the education to laugh at me. You see? You don't have the
Well, what about the fact if I just happen to find it funny?
There's no such thing as just happening to find it funny. There comes a point when you have to look at who it is you're listening to. and say, that man's got an education, I don't. That man is a black man, I'm not. That man is a teacher, I'm not. That man is most likely much smarter than me. Now, I'm not singling you out.
No, I know you're not singling me out. What you're basically saying is I've got an audience, and there's a lot of people listening to the radio, whether it's in the daytime or the nighttime. There's a lot of folks out there who have do not have college degrees, and I shouldn't encourage them.
Well, that's my point, because what you're doing then is you're saying, look at me. I don't have a college degree. As a matter of fact, I don't have I've got no barely any college experience at all, and yet here I am doing a talk show. And I'm making opinions, and I'm formulating opinions, and I even went so far as to sit and listen to the speech of an educated man that I know, and I laughed at him. Laugh. In his face.
And I didn't laugh in your face, Professor Emery. I was sitting there in the front row.
Well, you're sitting in the front row, and you laughed in my face. And
well, I did not mean to. If the laugh, I don't think my laughter was all that evident.
Well, it was fairly evident.
Well, how evident?
Well, I think that when you laughed, people could hear it in the second, third row because you went, ha-ha. You understand?
No, I don't remember going ha-ha like that. I remember...
You put your hand or your fingers to your nose as if you were trying to stifle a laugh. Now... I'm talking to you about this tonight, Phil, because this is bigger than whatever it was that Farrakhan said what he said, and I agree with him. But for you to laugh, and then you said to me afterwards, I don't have a college education, but a lot of people in America don't. We still are going to have opinions. And I said to you, yes, but are you trying to tell me that your opinion on this is going to be more it's going to be right?
Well, who ultimately knows what's right?
Exactly.
Until the event actually comes to, until the event takes place. In this case, uprisings here in the United States in much the same form. I have just heard in my life people talk in apocalyptic terms all the time. All my life I've heard people say, this is going to happen, that's going to happen, oh my God this, oh my God that. I have heard people say all kinds of crazy things.
What do you mean by crazy, though? You see, you've heard. But you've seen riots, haven't you? You've seen uprisings.
I've seen a lot of urban disturbance, but none of it having to do with anything that the people are... all of it having to do with the American experience, you know?
Well, the American experience, yes. But you're trying to say you know more about it than I do. Now, let's get back to the point. You know,
I'm just telling you what I know.
And what you know is what you know. People who don't have a college education are going to listen to you and say, listen to Phil, he's talking on the radio with a big talk show, and he has these opinions, and he's talking to Emery Clayton, and he's, excuse me, Phil, but you're butting in. And
forgive me, I'm sorry.
But that's what you're doing, and they're going to be encouraged to do the same thing. That's all I'm saying. And
so you don't want people questioning you?
I don't want people such as yourself who don't even have a college education telling me about whether or not Bahrain's going to blow sky high and the brothers there are going to influence some of the activities of the brothers here. This is something I'm intimately involved and knowledgeable in, and you, with no college education, are going to tell me? And then you laughed at me.
I'm apologizing for that, okay?
Apology accepted.
All right. Then can we move on?
We can move on. I'm not angry anymore. I'm just telling you how it affected the speech. It threw me off. And now I've had to deal with people since then who aren't college educated coming up to me and going, well, Professor Clayton, let me tell you what I think. Excuse me, what college did you go to? Well, I didn't go to a college because they know you didn't either.
Well, it's worth talking about, but I don't think that it's, I think it's a dead end. You say, you know, if you don't have a college education, if you do have a college education, you can't talk to me about Minister Farrakhan's statements that the Middle East uprisings are coming to America. Professor Emery Clayton, who is a college educated man, and I did laugh at his speech when he said that he agrees with Minister Farrakhan that the uprisings in the Middle East are coming to America. I shouldn't do that. I don't have a college education. And maybe neither do you. Our number is 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots, and welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and our number 877-876-7445. Professor Emory Clayton joining me as we comment on Nation of Islam leader Minister Louis Farrakhan predicting on Sunday that America faces imminent uprisings that mirror those in the Middle East.
Let me explain as well, Phil. In that case, in that instance, Minister Farrakhan does not disagree at all with some of these people that you may admire, like Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck has predicted this.
I don't agree with Glenn Beck. You know.
Well, you may not agree with Glenn Beck, but it puts you a little bit outside of the mainstream of where a lot of you people seem to put your confidence. But I'm going to say this.
I don't agree with him. If Glenn says that this is what's going to happen, I disagree with him, too. I do not believe, and Americans make this mistake always.
Hold on for a minute, because you're starting to give a lecture. I'm the one with the college education. I'm the one that...
I understand that. I'm entitled to an opinion, though.
You're entitled to an opinion, but let me... I've got to express mine first. I'm the one with the teaching credential. I'm the one with the college education. I'm the one... and you and many of the people that listen to the talk show, I don't know about the people listening to you. Many people listening to talk radio don't have the education that it takes to debate someone such as myself. Now, I am a professor of urban studies. I have a...
Pardon me, but I know what your credentials are.
Why'd you interrupt me? See, you did that again. You did that on Sunday night. You did it again.
Sir, I did not interrupt you on Sunday night. I laughed. I'm sorry that it was a distraction.
It was a humiliation for me to stand there with a college... I got a college degree, and I'm laying it down, as we say. You know, I'm laying it down. Back in my neighborhood, that's what we used to say as young people. I'm going to lay it down for you. And you laugh at me.
I apologize.
I accepted your apology, but I just want you to be aware of what you did.
All right, our number 877-876-PHIL. I got the same cough you have.
Fancy that.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call here. We have Terry in Meridian, Mississippi. Terry, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
First of all, I want to say that this education that he keeps referring to, there is a country full of educated idiots, and for example, in Washington, D.C. right now, and...
educated idiots?
You have the right to your opinion as well as any of the rest of us, but there's a lot of college-educated, college-degree folks out here running up down the road driving trucks, is the heartbeat of America is the truck driver.
I don't think that's the norm. I agree with the truck drivers being the heartbeat of America, the haul of freight. The truck drivers do a great job. But to say that most of them have got college degrees, come on.
There are doctors out here. There are medical doctors driving tractor trailers.
How good can they be? As
how good can they be? Doesn't matter how good they can be or not. They're tired of the profession working in medicine.
Tired of making money? I would think that a man...
Who knows why they're driving trucks? Maybe medicine became boring for them. Maybe it wasn't really their calling. Maybe they went into medicine because their mother wanted them to be a doctor, you know? And they decided they wanted to drive a truck, you know?
Mr. Henry, this is the point that I'm making. And this gentleman, Terry, that's on the line. Terry, please, You can hear Mr. Henry likes to talk, talk, talk. He has no college education. And you can talk about the truck drivers with college education. Mr. Henry has no college education. And yet listen to him, blah, 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 blah. Blah, blah, blah.
All right, you hold the line. Terry, hold the line. I'm going to take a break, but we will be right back with you here. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. We're talking with I just hung up on Terry. Great. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Nice going, because you're talking, talking, and talking.
We'll be right back. Call me back, Terry. Sorry.
Blah, 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 blah.
Phil Henry. Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, radio for patriots by patriots, on this night that we roll out the next generation of our video cast, Phil TV. Our new live webcast with much, much more enhanced view of us doing the show and special effects. With me is with me is Minister Farrakhan. This is Professor Emery Clayton from L.A. Canyon College, commenting on what Minister Farrakhan said this past weekend, that the uprisings in the Middle East will visit America. For me to even give an opinion is unworthy.
Unworthy, Phil. What I said was,
well, that's every time I gave an opinion.
I believe I let you give your opinion at the beginning of this. I believe I let, but for you to continue to repeat it in the face of a college educated black man, and I say that with pride, I'm not hiding that, a college educated black man, and for you to give your opinion in the face of that and say sociologically and this and that and a lot of big words. No, your big words that you learn reading Reader's Digest or the big word book, I don't know what kind, that's fine. And
by the way, if I'm enhancing my vocabulary and at least my understanding of words.
But you are giving your listeners who are in the same boat as you, people with no college education, you're empowering them to speak up and argue with me. I don't mind people arguing. But at some point, you have to acknowledge I'm arguing with a college-educated man.
877-876-7445, The Phil Henry Show. I'll let my listeners decide. How about that? Now, poor Terry, I hung up on him, but he wanted to just conclude some thoughts. Go ahead, Terry, and thanks for hanging in.
Yes, I was going to ask the professor. He keeps talking about, in your defense, I'm speaking in your defense.
Thank you.
And Professor, can you do what Mr. Henry does in that radio booth?
Well, I forgive me for saying this, sir, but I can't. I'm not an organ grinder either. You know, I can't groom poodles, and I don't sweep streets. So no, I can't do what Mr. Henry does in that booth. And
this is like a classroom.
A classroom? Are you kidding? Oh, you guys have got to be kidding me. Mr. Henry is, at best, he's a guy that's keeping the campfire tended. But you are not teaching people. I teach people. I've got a teaching credential.
There's a lot of people in the classroom with college education that are not teaching. They're drawing a paycheck, sir.
I will tell you this, sir. I think it's a tragedy. I mean, I think it is a damn shame that Mr. Henry commands the audience that he commands, and he hadn't got the education that God gave a hound dog with mange. And
boy, that is really insulting, man. I mean, I got out of high school.
That doesn't get you any place now. And with the job of the level of responsibility that you've got, I find the job you've got, I think is I find it to be a tragedy. Just a tragedy.
Let's go to Sandy in Yakima, Washington. Sandy, hi. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Professor Emery Clayton. Go ahead.
Hi there. I have been listening this evening, and I'm sorry that I think I'm so sidetracked, but I'm going to stay on the sidetrack. I am highly offended with Mr. Clayton's assumption and confusion of education versus intelligence. There is a far cry between the two. I know a lot of well-educated idiots, and I know a lot of very intelligent, successful business people that do not have a college education, and I find
it... Ma'am, did you hear how you just said that? You said successful. And I think you were being, I don't think you were trying to be funny, but I think it was a subconscious a statement. Successful. In other words, they may, you didn't even know you said that, did you?
And okay, what's the point?
The point is, she was mocking those people.
Yes, she's mocking those people as being, maybe you missed the point.
I didn't miss any point.
No, she was saying that they may be successful, they may be college educated, but they're idiots.
Well, would you deny, ma'am, boy, that takes, you know, that takes a lot of guts to say that. Would you deny, ma'am, that there are a lot of people without college educations?
Sir, my brother is a doctorate, and he's intelligent, and he has worked for the government for many years. My father, who had a photographic memory, did not have the opportunity to go to college, was one of the most intelligent men I have ever known. My husband also does not have a college degree, but I will tell you, sir, he could run circles around you in the intelligence area. And education is not an indication of intelligence. It's an indication of schooling, and it might be underwater BB stacking, which means the degree wouldn't amount to much.
You said a whole lot of nothing there, with all due respect. That was a whole lot of nothing. You say you got all these people that are educated, then you got somebody else not educated.
I am educated.
Are you trying to tell me, though, that people that are uneducated in your family, because you said there's some uneducated ones, are going to be able to out-argue me?
Well,
there are a lot of people that do very well that do not have the kind of education you're talking about, and there are a lot of educated idiots out there.
That may very well be, but they cannot say they know more about what I'm talking about than I do.
Apparently, if someone doesn't agree with you, they're not educated enough.
That makes me angry, Ben. That I will give you all, but you can't tell me that some, excuse me for saying this, one of your relatives is smarter than me.
Excuse me, Phil, but
I'm talking to the lady who's got an education.
I do have a college education, but let's throw that
aside. Right, so I'd rather talk to you, and I don't want to talk to an idiot like Henry. And I can tell you,
hey, watch the idiot thing.
I did not need a college education to have the ability to be well-read. No one does. It doesn't take that. You can read. You can teach yourself anything, sir. Anything.
Wait a minute. What did you just say? You do not have the ability to be well-read?
That doesn't make any sense at all.
You said to me you don't have the ability. He didn't say that. No, my name is Henry Clayton. Did anybody invite you on a show to be a guest? No, they invited me on a show to be a guest.
Wow. Now I know why so much of your time you say blah, blah, blah. It makes more sense now.
See,
anyway, thank you for having me.
You're educated. Yeah, okay, I won.
No, you didn't win. There's nobody winning.
That lady reduced herself to the level of someone throwing, excuse me for saying it, ma'am, like a monkey throwing feces in a cage.
No, she most certainly did not. I don't agree. Thank you very much, Sandy, for your call. 877-876-PHIL. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I don't agree with that at all.
At the very end, she was going, wow, wow. She was mocking me like an 11-year-old girl who got into laser tag and somebody else didn't.
You know, Louis Farrakhan made a speech that you made a speech commenting on, and we haven't talked about it at all.
We're not going to talk about his speech until I'm assured of the fact that the people I'm talking to are educated with regard to the cultural sociological, psychological, political realities of the situation. I'm not going to talk to a guy that's got 1 year at JC. Now, Phil, I don't denigrate you as a man.
No, not at all. You just won't talk to me about certain things, even if I make sense.
You're not making sense. I listened to what you said at the very beginning. You're making no sense. You made about as much sense as that, I understand you like to listen to Johnny Cash. I'm hearing that Johnny Cash music you was listening to just before the show, right?
Yeah.
You make about as much sense as that guy does.
Johnny Cash has passed on. Let's have a little respect.
I have respect for Mr. Cash, but I'm saying his music is not my cup of tea. He doesn't make any sense. I'm not saying it's bad, Agent. I just don't understand what he's talking about. Boy Named Sue, and that's not even what we're discussing here.
All right, let me move on to a call here. 877-876-7445. Joanna in Lafayette, Louisiana. Hi, Joanna. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Professor Emery Clayton. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Phil. Listen, Phil, I don't even understand why you were putting up with this fellow. Sir, I have a master's degree in psychology, okay? And I've worked at a university, and I'll tell you something right now. You're talking to an educated woman. And let me tell you something. In America, Americans, whether they're educated or uneducated, have the right to have an opinion, and they have the right to vote and express that opinion. And our forefathers gave us that. And you are very arrogant to assume that your opinion is better than anyone else's.
I never said you don't have, or Mr. Harry had no right. I said once I heard his 1 year of junior college opinion, am I supposed to sit there and argue with a man? He's trying to tell me about the Middle East and the cultural reality of not only the Middle East, but the racial reality of that part of the world. He's trying to tell me, a black man. And I got to sit and listen and listen and listen.
Yes, you are supposed to. Yes, you are. Because he has a right
to the point of bleeding. I heard the opinion. Now it's time to get real. You see what I'm saying? It would be like you have a degree in psychology. Are you going to listen to a little tiny kid come up to you and start laying it on you about psychology?
I'm having trouble making out what you're saying. Talk a little slower.
Okay, right there. You just gave it away. You see?
I didn't give anything away, sir. The phone is not coming through clearly.
No, you gave it away. I'm talking too fast. I'm talking too fast for you. Isn't that what you said?
Oh, God.
Yes, but
the connection is bad, sir.
Uh-huh. What I said was the following thing. Are you going to be, as a psychologist... Well, she's giving me lip.
Well, lip? She's not giving you any lip.
I heard her go, uh-huh.
No.
Look at this is
oh
not
my
we're
gosh.
Not we're not look at the professor.
Look at Mr. Henry, I've got way better things I can do, okay? You know, I've got I got rats in the cellar, you know. What I'm saying is this. Are you going to listen to a little tiny kid come up to you and start rapping psychology to you? Of course not. You may listen to that child for about 5 minutes and then you'll politely dismiss that child and move on about your business. It's the same thing with me.
Okay,
and I'm
going to
come on the Phil Henry show, and Mr. Henry's going to tell me all about Bahrain, and he's going to tell me all... No.
Look, anyone can educate themselves, just like that former lady said. Anyone can study and read. Look at Glenn Beck. He is so brilliant. He's probably got an IQ.
He's an idiot. Oh, he doesn't have nothing figured out.
But he's got a memory that's impeccable. He can stand in front of
you. How do you know his memory's impeccable? How do you know he's not making that? How do you know that simple-minded fool isn't making half of that stuff up? You don't know.
No,
that's what I'm saying.
That man is telling the truth. He's almost the only one giving America the truth. Almost the only one.
I bet you don't even check it out. I bet you just trust him because you think he's like, I call it Jesus. You think he's like Jesus Christ?
I'll listen to idiots like you, too.
Glenn Beck is going to be in a padded cell one of these days, and you'll be...
No, he's not.
...that by your friend. He'll be in a padded cell.
God, man,
America
you really have got...
is a free country, sir. Our forefathers made it free. If we don't start respecting the
Constitution... Then you and Glenn Beck agrees with Louis Farrakhan. Glenn Beck agrees with Louis Farrakhan.
The Constitution and making our law according to the Constitution, we won't be free anymore. And if we listen to people like you and Farrakhan, we'll be oppressed, okay?
Wait a minute.
And
I don't intend on being smart.
Oppressed.
That proves you're not smart because Glenn Beck agrees with Farrakhan. He thinks the violence is coming here, too.
Aha. That's right.
Oh, come on.
I believe that this will be tried in America, but it won't succeed. And I believe that's
exactly.
What Phil was
no,
saying.
No, it will succeed.
It won't succeed.
No, I was saying that
Americans
it's not.
Americans won't let it succeed. They'll try.
Hold on. I want to give you something that you deserve here.
Hey, what a speech. Isn't that beautiful?
Why are you being sarcastic?
Oh, she thinks she's Dolly Madison.
All right, anyway, thank you for your call, ma'am. I appreciate it very much. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. That's pretty rude. Don't you think, Professor?
Hey.
Yeah. 877-876-7445. World famous Phil Henry Show. Will be right back.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
A lot of demand to talk to Professor Emory Clayton here tonight, so we may just go into the next hour with Professor Clayton. He has told me that he's willing to. Professor Clayton, I appreciate that.
Well, I would like you and I'd like your listeners to understand, and I hope that they are at this particular, I hope that they are being mindful of the fact that I have said, yes, I would like to be a part of another hour of broadcasting. That means I am being gracious. That means that I am being forthcoming. That means I'm being magnanimous. It's one of my favorite words, magnanimous. Magnanimity. And I do not believe it's been extended to me.
Professor Clayton, I have apologized to you for laughing at you during your speech. I acknowledge you're an educated man, but I think you're practicing some form of...
What, voodoo? You want to start talking about the black man?
No, I wasn't going to say that. I think I was going to say some kind of intellectual totalitarian thinking where only those with college educations should speak.
Well, I believe that we have reached a point in this country. We have so many idiots. Now, that lady there just said, Glenn, who's the man that's on the radio?
Glenn Beck.
Yeah, she's talking about, boy, there's a guy that's got no education, spent time in a drunk tank. From my understanding, wasn't he trying out at Promises or the Betty Ford Clinic or someplace like that?
And I don't know. I don't know, and I don't think that has anything to do with it. I think people can learn from their mistakes in life, move on, and benefit other people. Here is Jay in Houston, Texas. Jay, you're on the Phil Henry Show here with Professor Emory Clayton. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I just wanted to tell that professor that with all his education, and I don't have no education, sir, but I make $175,000 a year in the oil fields. And people don't have to brag on themselves. You're so self-centered, man. You need to get off
I'm
that.
I'm not putting down how much money you make. I think that's a great thing. I think you have found your calling in this world.
You're going to talk to me
about Louis Farrakhan. Nobody's going to talk to me about that. And Mr. Henry laughed at me. He sat there in the front row and laughed. Laughed like a hyena.
No, I didn't. I didn't laugh like a hyena. I laughed.
Sir, the man has already apologized.
Watch his language, please.
Yeah, what I'm saying? No college education, the man comes out with the S-bomb.
All right, the man was... You know, Professor Clayton, you're not giving people a chance.
Yeah, you need to.
I think I'm giving them.
You need to keep your mouth shut a little bit and listen. I think you have a lot of college education, but for what? I don't hear nothing coming out of you. But you're a
college education. I said to Henry and the rest of them people that were listening to me that Louis Farrakhan is right. There are going to be uprisings in the United States. Then Henry says to me, "Well, Glenn Beck agrees with you," and I said, "Man, boy, I don't know what you're smoking." Or maybe you ought to check the mushrooms you're eating, because that's about the wildest thing I've ever heard.
I think
it's true. It's true. If Glenn Beck, Louis Farrakhan, you know, there's a lot of people predicting some sort of whack apocalyptic thing. I don't agree with that.
Well, you may not agree with it, but you're disagreeing with a man, here I am, and this gentleman here, this Jay, he doesn't like me saying it, but I got to say it. You're disagreeing with a man who, A, I've got a college education. I've got a...
We know about your college education.
Out of here.
God.
Well, you know what? Then, when you guys get an education like the one I've got, then you can talk.
I bet
until
you don't even make no money, man.
You know what? I'm a teacher. Is that all right with you? What do you think? You going to laugh at teachers, too? We spend
a lot
of time
laughing at teachers. My wife is a teacher. My wife is a school teacher.
You laugh at her?
No, you don't go around bragging. I've got all these credentials and all this. You don't put me down. I don't put her down. All you done is put this man in the radio. Hold on, man. Let me finish, man.
I think she ought to start.
Let me finish. All you do is put down the radio, the guy on the field. All you've done is put him down. You put down that lady before you put down. You need to be put down. You need to be put in your place, sir. The best thing that ever...
Hold on, sir. Is a college education that I've got. I'm educated.
I don't care about your college education. You bleed just like me. You bleed just like me. You put your pants on just like me. You use the restroom just like me.
I wash my pants first.
Okay. All right, yeah, very good, Jay. Very good call, sir. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with Professor Emery Clayton. We're going another hour in this discussion of college educations and Louis Farrakhan.
Put my pants on like him, I don't think so.
Phil Henry.
I wash my drawers.
This hour of Phil Hendry is brought to you by Dynapep Micro Energy Shot.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
I have not, because I don't feel like there's any real support there. No one has issued.
The take-home lesson from this is that, they were very, very unprofessional.
Are you blonde?
No. Tons of gone out onto the streets to protest, say that...
And he pulled his pants down?
There is something that I got to tell you now.
Who's the wiener here?
Famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Our number 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL. As we continue talking here with Professor Emery Clayton about a lot more than just Louis Farrakhan, we're talking about college educations, and who has the right to speak in America, a country built on free speech. We'll be back with Professor Clayton here in just a moment. 877-876-PHIL and our website, philhenryshow.com, where we have rolled out the next generation of Phil TV. Our live webcast is enhanced tonight, and we hope you join us with a backstage pass and watch as we give you multiple camera angles, enhanced effects, and a whole new viewing experience on the World Wide Web here, the Phil Hendry Show. As well as, of course, with a backstage pass, our archives, as well as our podcast, the daily podcast, you can access at philhenryshow.com and through iTunes as well, and our classic podcast. So lots to do, and a lot waiting for you at philhenryshow.com. 877-876-PHIL. It's 877-876-PHIL. And so before we get back to some phone calls, and we appreciate the people who have been hanging on with us, Professor Clayton, back with us. And, you know, obviously you've raised a ruckus here, Professor Clayton, starting with your contention that I did not have the right to laugh at you during that talk you gave, and then moving on to I don't really have the right to talk to you about this issue, and then moving on to the fact that I'm uneducated. And it doesn't seem to bother you that you sound effete, you sound...
That's one of those 50-cent words.
Well, you sound Machiavellian, totalitarian, you sound dictatorial, you sound controlling. What word would you like to use?
I am. Here's the word I'd like to use. I'm educated. I'm educated, Phil. Now, I know... I give every man his due. Don't think that I'm not egalitarian. I'm a very egalitarian man, but I... I give every man his due, but I also know what each man is due. Now, if you want me on your radio program, I've been doing your radio program. I'm here in the middle of the night, and I'd love to be on, I don't know if you're familiar, on that Mike Malloy show. I want to get on that show and do some of these other shows that are not overnight, and I'm buried. I mean, I'm buried alive in the middle of the night. I don't know if you ever heard. There's only one band that I like of that, what you call heavy metal, because most of my music, as you probably imagine, I like black music. But I do like that one band that's called Venom. And
I know Venom. They're a metal band.
Yes, and they've got a song called Buried Alive. And doing these radio shows with you, man, when I hear that man sing that song, drinking that Newcastle beer like those white people do in England, I'm buried alive, all right. I'm trying to claw myself out of the dirt.
Well, you know, if you're having a hard time dealing with being on this show, then maybe we can just conclude.
No, I'm not. You get so touchy, don't you?
Well, you're talking about the fact that I'm not educated, the fact that you're buried alive here in the middle of the night on my show. You'd rather be on Mike Malloy's show.
Well, because Mike Malloy agrees with the great... You're a conservative. You're talking about Patriot Radio and all this.
Well, why don't we talk about Wisconsin, but you don't want to do that either.
I'm not going to get involved in a discussion of Wisconsin where I'm going to be sucked in to having to talk to people that are not educated enough on the issue of Wisconsin to debate intelligently, and all they know how to do is call me stuck up and get all mad at me because I'm smarter than them. I won't have it. I will not have that. I'd love to talk about Wisconsin. I'd love to talk about Wisconsin with you, Phil, and I've told you how you can talk about Wisconsin with me.
Yeah, you told me go back and get 2 more years of school.
Right. You go back and get your bachelor's degree because you got 2 years of JC, my friend. That ain't going to get it done. That just don't cut it. That don't cut it in the conversation with me. You want to sit down and break bread with me? At least I'm being honest with you.
877-876-7445. Must be a very lonely world not having anybody to talk to.
Wait a second. I got plenty of people to talk to. I got plenty of people to talk to.
You got plenty of people to talk to. You should not get so upset when a man such as myself, as low on the totem pole as I am, laughs during one of your speeches. Here is Lynn in Charlotte, North Carolina. Go ahead, Lynn.
I wasn't giving a speech. I was giving a talk.
All right. Go ahead, Lynn. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Professor Clayton. Yes, ma'am. Lynn.
Yes, Mr. Clayton. I'm in a situation where that I deal with a lot of different people of a lot of different cultures, and I can spot a professor right off because they seem to have this arrogance about them that their way is the only way, and I just think it's really unfortunate that our young people are going, and they're going to college, they're putting themselves in front of someone like you who is so extremely opinionated that you don't have time to listen to people. And I think if you were a little nicer to people, maybe they'd be nicer to you.
I do have time. I do have time to listen to people. And I do listen to people. And I can't help it if I'm right. When I look at someone, and he says to me, Mr. Hendry, I've got a year and a half of JC, and then he laughs at me. Laughs in my face.
Just because you have an education doesn't mean you're right. And like I said before, to think that our young people are going to college and they get your opinion, which seems to be the only opinion, on regardless of what it is, I just think it's really, really sad.
I don't think my opinion is the only opinion. But I will say that Mr. Hendry does not have the education to debate me. Now, if I had someone, I don't know what your education is.
You had people coming on here with education.
Whoa, excuse me. I'm talking to the lady. Ma'am, what is your educational level?
Actually, I went to high school, but I also know how to treat people like people. And, you know, I'm not going out there. I'm not trying to agitate people.
Okay.
What does that mean?
You wasted my time, Ms. Hendry.
I'm not wasting your time.
How about if you treat people the way that you want to be treated? And I think you get from people what you ask for. And I deal with professors.
I know, and you make lemons, they make lemonade out of lemons, and you make a pig's ear out of a sow's syrup. The point is that...
Don't be condescending, okay?
I thought you were lining up people that have been to college. I thought you were lining them up for me.
I think
so that
you
we go one, bang, bang, bang.
Human. I'm human. I mean, just because I couldn't afford to go to college doesn't make me an idiot.
What we're talking about, Professor Clayton, is how to treat people.
I know what you're doing. It's like I may not be a great man, but at least I'm a civil man. I understand that. I understand that. I saw Sounder with Cicely Tyson.
I just think
you know, it's all
kindness.
Exactly, exactly.
I think the world needs kindness, but I also feel that the world needs a little more ass kicking. I think we got to put our boot in the ass of a few people. And I think some of these, like you, Mr. Henry, 2 years of college, I'd put my boot in your ass. Why don't you go back and get your B.A.? Or you've been spending too much time in college flashing a B.A. I bet you that was your problem.
Well, that's very nice talk with a lady on the line.
Oh, she knows I'm clowning.
Anyway, Lynn, thank you very much for your call.
Yeah, you know,
I agree with the lady. There should be more kindness. I agree with you, ma'am, but
prayer list that God will come down and thump you on the head and make you nicer. You have a blessed day.
You know, that's another way of saying F you. You know that, don't you?
What is?
Saying I'll pray for you. That's another way of people so they can say, boy, I'd like it.
Well, you see, you're in this area of condescension.
No, I'm not, Phil.
Yes, you are. You're in an area of condescension where now it's, I saw Sounder with Cicely Tyson. And a pig's ear out of a sow's purse or whatever.
A pig's ear out of a sow's purse? You mean a sow's purse out of a sow? Oh, boy, you got it so jacked up and balled up, I don't even know what it is.
A silk purse out of a sow's ear.
There, look at that. That's what 2 years of college gets you. You got to sit there and rack your brains over something like that? Give me a break. I didn't disrespect that lady at all.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. You're talking to her, you're talking to me like we don't rate. And you don't want to talk about Wisconsin because we don't have the education. Mike in Bakersfield, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Professor Emery Clayton. Go ahead.
Oh, thanks, Phil. I mean,
I'm trying to maintain a certain level.
Yes,
for quite a while, just seething, listening to this individual. Because, Professor, you are not a teacher. You are a professor. There is a difference. You can be well-rounded, well-educated without going to college. You can have knowledge. You can have opinions. Professor, what is the spacing of a 2x4 in a wall? How many inches on center? Do you know?
I hire a guy. You don't know.
What is an SCCM, a SCIM?
I know what that is. It's something a guy without a college education needs to know about.
Okay.
Isn't that funny? Squared
cubic centimeter. It is a flow measurement of gases in the semiconductor industry, Professor.
It means nothing.
Do you know what a tor is? Of course
There's
not.
No point to that.
Because
no point
you,
to
sir,
that.
Could not
we
find your
know.
Butt with a
we
flashlight, a roadmap, and both hands. You are a pompous, arrogant individual whose only claim is that I'm an educated
I hire guys
man.
That know stuff like
Who
that.
Who cares?
I hire guys that know stuff like that.
I
don't need to know that. I hire a man to know that.
But you claim to be educated. You claim to have a college degree. You should know this stuff.
That's something you learn in manual arts. You don't learn that in college.
No, sir.
Yes, you learn that on
a matchbook company working on multi-million-dollar tools producing the chips that are in the computer that you use every day.
You learn that at night on a matchbook, one of the matchbook universities.
You learn that
in
school.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Professor, what is FSII?
What is the basic lower bicameral house of Sudan?
Sir?
I do not know. You don't know.
Okay.
You don't know. You don't know
how
the nations of the world stack up.
How is knowing that applicable
and financially viable? So
in
you,
this nation?
the next time you get up on a radio station and talk about Africa, then you know. Now, what is a midget?
Because
what's
the only way you can earn a living.
What do you mean? What's a midget?
That you are producing.
I bet you don't even know what a midget is.
What is that supposed to mean?
A midget.
What a midget?
Yes.
A midget is a small person. It is a small vehicle. It is a measure of dimensions.
I gave you an easy one.
Now, is a conversation that we're having.
I gave him an easy one. But what he's trying to do is he's laying some stuff on me that he took at Manual Arts High School. And he's trying to ask me what that means. And
Professor,
I got a four-year degree.
You stay right there in college. Because if you had to get your hands dirty and actually earn a living, you couldn't do it. Thank you very much.
What I do, don't you dare hang up. I get the last word on that.
Oh, hold on. Thanks very much for your call, sir. 877-876-7445. This asinine conversation with Professor Emery Clayton will continue after the break. How much education do you need? I'm going to get into Wisconsin with him and what's going on in Wisconsin, even though I don't have enough education to talk to him about it. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we have Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard in our news hour, Radio for Patriots by Patriots. Our Patriot line is open. Professor Emery Clayton has joined us. It's always a challenging time, Professor. Wisconsin, Governor Scott Walker has said that the Democrats better come back, or they're going to have to move ahead with a budget that is essentially going to further strap the state. Okay?
Yeah. Again, something that you don't know anything about.
And can you not be so insulting?
Well, I'm trying not to be. What I'm trying to say is, let the record show you laughed at me. And
I laughed at you. It's over, okay? I thought you accepted my apology.
I did accept your apology. I did accept your apology. You want to talk about Wisconsin? All right, we can talk about Wisconsin. We can talk about Louis Farrakhan if you want. That'd be fine. But I'm going to tell you, as God is by as God made green little apples, that if I'm right and you're wrong, you have to take it like a man. And that's the problem we've got with so many people these days that get involved in these conversations, political conversation. And I find myself arguing circles around these people, and they can't even take it like a man. And for me to find truth.
Well, maybe you're not exactly convincing them.
Well, that's what I'm talking about, though. If I don't convince them, that is a question of their education, what I'm talking about.
All right, 877-876-7445. We'll take another phone call here, and we have Lorraine in Mobile, Alabama. Lorraine, you're on the Phil Hendry Show here with Professor Emery Clayton. Go ahead, please.
Professor Clayton, you may have a college education, but the world teaches you common sense, and you wouldn't be affecting your health by trying to force people to believe like you if you would just listen.
I listen to people, man. I listen all the time. And these days,
I'm 83 years old. And
you made it through.
I haven't heard anything that you've taught me.
Well, I can tell you, ma'am, that, I'd be happy to teach you, but I have a classroom full of young people I teach, and I'd be happy to teach you, Lorraine, but Mr. Hendry feels the need to continue to talk and talk about things he don't know anything about.
Like what?
Well, you want to talk about Wisconsin. And I'm sure Lorraine would like to talk about Wisconsin. Wisconsin is known as the Badger State. You know why? Because the way they run their lives up there, it badgers people to death. The way they run their lives up there, the way they run everything into the ground. You know what's a cheese, Lorraine? They have cheese in Wisconsin. You understand that?
I couldn't understand you. Do you agree with them, the one that's on strike?
Ma'am, you're telling me you don't even know they got cheese in Wisconsin.
She couldn't hear you.
You tell people what they believe and what they think. You have no idea because you don't ever listen.
Well, ma'am, I asked you, are you aware of the fact that they have cheese in Wisconsin? Cheese. You're aware of that?
Yes, she's aware of that.
No, I'm just asking the lady if she is.
Well, I didn't call to talk about Wisconsin. I called to try to save you a little time in making yourself sick. You can't force people to believe you when they know better.
You're absolutely right, ma'am. You're absolutely right. And when they know better, no, you're absolutely right. You know, but I'll tell you something. If people think they know better, but they don't, and I can feel my guts start to churn. And forgive me for saying this, but I'm on a toilet for the rest of the day. You know what I'm talking about. Who did that? Did I do that, or did they do that? They did that. They did
that. You just make yourself sick by thinking everybody has to agree with you. You have to learn to take it both ways.
You know, the thing of it is, Professor Clayton, even if they're wrong and you're right, you have to just say, well, you know.
All right. Do you do that on your show? Of course you don't.
Well, I'm on a radio show. I have to maintain a level of credibility.
What? What does that mean exactly?
That means that it's different from being in a classroom. Hey, thank you very much, Lorraine. Very nice call, and good of you to talk to us tonight. Our number 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. I thought I heard music going there in the background. Maybe not. Let's go over to John. We've got about a minute to go in this segment. John, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, sir.
I don't mean to talk about Wisconsin. I'm in the military, so my national discussions are a little out of whack, but I usually keep up with international just because of the fact of where we might go, where we might be.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
My thing is the whole uprising in the U.S., and if you're going to go with riots and stuff like that, well, that happens all the time, but it's normally settled through the police or the courts. And if you look at Wisconsin, those are peaceful riots or peaceful protesters, and the police said they weren't going to take them out of the building because they were being peaceful.
Hold on, John. John, hold the line. We'll be right back with you, John, and with Professor Emery Clayton here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show Radio for Patriots by Patriots.
Phil Henry. Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. And with me is Professor Emery Clayton here. And if you're looking on our videocast, philhenryshow.com, the backdrop there is the city of Seattle.
What city are you in?
Well, I'm in the El Pacifico here. I'm up on the L.A. Ventura County line.
Why don't you have a picture of, why don't you have the ocean or something?
Because we're just testing out our new video equipment, and we have a beautiful backdrop of Seattle, which is where my producer, Jason Rance, resides. And it's a beautiful city, so.
I wanted to, if I could, see, forgive me, that didn't make any sense to me. And
does that make you feel superior?
No, it doesn't make me feel superior. No, sir. No, it doesn't. But I do want to ask you something about what you do.
Go ahead.
You see, you talking to me, and I yesterday I told you, I forgive you, but you laughed at me, and I asked myself, I'm giving an address to people on the situation in the Middle East, and why the people there are uprising against their governments, and the reality, in my opinion, the same as Louis Farrakhan that's going to visit America, and I'm giving this talk, and you laugh at me, and I ask, how does this world get so balled up that you, with a year and a half, I don't think you got a year and a half of JC, laugh at me, and I got my master's degree from Morehouse College, and I did my postgraduate work at the very same school that Condoleezza Rice went to, University of Denver. Now, I want to ask you something. I've seen you on the television. I've seen you on video. How is it you sit there and hop around like a monkey? It looks to me, Mr. Henry, and I don't mean any offense, but what you're doing there, you look like a monkey. moving all around like a monkey in a cage, you know.
And but you don't mean any offense.
I don't. I'm being very descriptive. Understand there's a difference. I'm being descriptive, and you look like a chimpanzee moving around and grabbing this and grabbing that, hopping all over the place.
And what do you mean grabbing this and grabbing that?
I'm watching you on your video, okay?
Right.
And you're grabbing knobs and twisting and jumping and scratching yourself, and it reminded me of going to the primate house at a monkey, at a, what do you call a monkey zoo, or where they, wherever they keep. Now,
you know, if I said to you the very same thing,
that would be racist.
Yeah, there you go. It would be racist. Yeah, but not you to me.
I don't recall white people ever being consistently compared to a monkey. Do you?
It's individual white people, yeah.
Well, I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about the consistent comparison. But I'm not saying that you are a monkey. I ain't even saying you look like a monkey. I'm saying your movements are monkey-like. Is what I'm saying.
Okay, 877-876-PHIL. You know what? I'm not even going to argue with you. I'm going to go back to this gentleman who's been hanging on. It's John in New Bern, North Carolina. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, I'm not going to get into the whole discussion on who laughed and who. That's just, that seems like something that I would argue with my best friend about when I was 12. My question is,
no, he looked like a monkey, that's all.
Okay, well, then if that's what you think, that's your opinion, and you're able to have one in this great nation, and so is he, and so am I, and so is everybody else. I don't need to get into opinions. My question is the whole Middle East uprising, are you,
right.
when you say it, when you agree that it's going to come to America, are you saying it's going to come at the rural area, the state level, the national level? I mean, what do you mean by when you agree that it's going to come over here?
Well, I believe that we're going to have, as best Farrakhan said, there will be a urban uprising of the have-nots against the have, same as you've seen in the Middle East. See, and
you don't see any difference between the United States and the Middle East.
I'm trying to answer this gentleman's question, and you just jump right in, and that's why I say it reminds me of a what do you call a monkey at the zoo. And
you know, whether it reminds you of a monkey or not, you believe that this is going to happen in the United States because we're the same as Bahrain, we're the same as Tunisia, we're the same as Egypt.
I think that we have. See, you're asking me questions, and John, forgive me, but Mr. Henry, you're asking me questions you got no right to ask.
And why don't I?
Because you don't have the education. See? So that's what I'm saying, John.
You're saying that to me, or?
I'm saying to you, sir, yes, I do believe it'll be urban, and I do believe it will be among the lower classes, the less privileged classes, the people, lower middle class and lower class people, economically deprived for a long time in this country, yes.
Now, are you saying that it's going to be on the same violent level as it is going on over there?
I do. Absolutely, yes.
See, no, I would
disagree.
I would disagree with that because let's say I'm poor and you know I'm not liking a bunch of my buddies
can
get together
you?
and we retaliate. Now, if we're just retaliating,
what's your educational level? Can I ask you if you've been to college?
Oh, God.
No, I went to high school and then I joined the military.
Okay. Yeah. See, I can't. You know.
Is there a problem with being in the military?
No, there's nothing wrong with being in the military, but I don't think you have the education to argue with me.
Well, I have the education to lead people into battle and to make sound decisions in a split second.
Absolutely.
That saves lives.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So say,
to
I'd,
argue
I'd
with
say,
me
I'd,
about...
That's, that,
okay.
You know...
Well, I
know,
keep,
but
keep,
you know,
I keep up with these. I keep up with these international things because that's where I might go. And,
right,
and those
paper,
are things,
that's
those are things that I might have to deal with.
But I'm an educated man, see? And
here we go again. I mean, it's like we're right back where we started.
And
you keep
sending me back?
See, Professor, and I understand that. I understand you're educated, and I'm not questioning that. And like these past callers, I'm not going to ask you questions about my job, and I don't need to hear questions about your job. I understand that you're smarter than me in certain areas, and I know that I'm smarter than you in certain areas, just not in the same areas. So if we can agree to disagree... I would say that if something like Libya happened here, let's say, at a state level.
It's not going to happen here. It's not going to happen here. Look, the closest we ever came, excuse me for interrupting, but I got to move this along. The closest we ever came to Libya in this country was in the 1960s when we had a series of urban riots. We had a series of, from one city to the next, of urban insurrections, if you want to call them that, Professor. And that was one city after the next. I mean, Philadelphia, Detroit, Washington, New York, Los Angeles, the South. It was all over the country, and somehow we were able to weather that, pull it together, and survive on to the present day. We're always looking for these apocalyptic scenarios. Thank you very much for your call, John. I appreciate it. We're always looking for these apocalyptic scenarios. We're always, because the American people just love to scare themselves.
So you're trying to tell me that what happened in the 1960s is what happened in Libya right now?
I'm telling you, the closest our country has come in recent years to what's happening in Libya, Egypt, was the urban insurrections of the 1960s, what we called then the riots. But they were dissatisfied, angry, pissed off Americans, and they had every right to be. And they went out and they hit the streets and they started taking it out on each other, on their neighborhoods, on cops, on the National Guard, and vice versa. And it was a horrible, bloody time.
Well, you just said a whole lot there, and you didn't allow me to say anything. And you didn't allow me to say, and plus you hung up on that guy. So now he thinks that you're telling me what to do, and I'm the guy with the education.
You're the guy with the education. Tell me what I just said. What's wrong with it?
I'm not going to comment on what you just said, because you don't have the education for me to comment on it. It might be very good, but I'm not going to comment on it. What happened was, as you started talking, that guy hung up. And I'm sitting here like you're scratching my nappy head and saying, now, you take your books, boy, get.
I didn't say anything of the sort.
And you're laughing at me again.
And I didn't say anything of the sort.
Well, it sounded to me like I had bare feet and overalls. You scratched me on my nappy head and said, you best get now, boy. Because that guy's not on the phone anymore. And you're talking to me, an educated man.
About my opinion that I think that's what the last time that happened in the United States. I think that in this country, we're constantly seeing these terrible things for being something worse than they are. Here is Robin in Boston. Go ahead, Robin. You're on the Phil Henry Show. I don't know.
Hi.
Is this Robin? Or is your name Robin?
Yes.
Yes. Go ahead, please.
Hi. I just had to say that just because someone goes to college doesn't mean that they're fully educated. Some of the most intelligent people I know didn't finish college. For example, my father...
Well, how do you know they're intelligent? How do you know they're intelligent?
Well, my father, for example, he knows a lot about astronomy, history. He can hold his own in any political discussion that I have with him. It's, you know, intelligence isn't just formal education. It's about what you know in general. And
that's all fine and dandy, but when we're talking about whether or not the urban insurrection of the 1960s is the same as the insurrections in Libya and Egypt. And Mr. Henry says that was as close as we ever came to it in this country. And he kept talking about it till that one guy hung up. And I'm sitting here with a college degree, and he's treating me he's visiting my shack in the backwoods of West Virginia, working for Vista.
Oh, yes, it may not have been good that he cut the guy off. I don't know how the show works and how the timing works, but you can't keep using your education as, you know, every time someone brings up a point and they ask you to respond,
right,
you claim that you can't respond because you're an educated man and that they don't deserve a response. The only thing that separates between you and Mr. Henry is 2 years of college, only 2 years of education.
No, that's wrong. That's wrong. I went to 4 years, then I did my postgraduate work. So I've got 8 years of education, Mr. Henry. In other words, on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm a 10, and Mr. Henry is 1/8.
1/8 on a scale of 1 to 10.
That's right.
Well, I apologize for saying that wrong. But you should be educated enough to understand that not everyone who you talk to is going to be as educated as you are. And you should understand that you need to bring, I'll use your terms, you need to bring yourself down to their level so that you can have a conversation. And maybe you can see that some of the people without college education are just as intelligent as you in other ways.
Robin, that's a very good point. That is a very good point. And in fact, I did do that once. I decided I would bring myself down to people's level when I was teaching, my very first years of teaching at the high school level. And I wanted to lower myself and lower myself and lower myself. But you know, Robin, there are times you can do that and you lose yourself. I woke up, and I'm not proud of this. I woke up in bed with a 16-year-old girl. That's how low I sunk. What are you laughing at?
Good God!
What, excuse me, what are you laughing at?
I'm laughing. That's how low you... Robin's talking about education.
I know what she's talking about, sir.
Okay, and so you wanted to reach out to your students, and you wind up sleeping with us.
To do with education.
No, but you said to lower myself to that level, and I lowered myself so much.
Actually,
I woke up. There were wine, there were bottles of wine laying around, and a woman in thank God I was only about 28, 29 years old myself. But the fact is, I got up from that bed. I remember throwing up. And walking outside and wondering, what have I done, you know? And I walked halfway down the street in just a pair of underwear and a T-shirt. I didn't even want to get dressed. I just kept walking.
So in your effort to reach out and lower yourself to your student's level, you wound up sleeping with one of them and drinking wine and walking home half naked?
Yes. That's the whole point. Well, she's laughing again, see?
I'm sorry. I apologize.
This is why when I say to you, Mr. Henry, I tell the truth. I tell people how I've come up. I tell people the tough road I've been down. And like I said on Sunday, and you sat there, and here's Robin and the two of you laughing like a couple of hyenas.
She's not laughing like a hyena. She's giggling.
Well, it's the same spike into my gut.
Okay, Robin, thank you very
much.
It's okay. Forget it.
Robin, thank you very much for your call. Thank you. 877-876-PHIL. Boy, I'll tell you.
What, seriously, what is up with that, with you laughing? And
you're telling me you tried to lower yourself and to understand your students, and you wound up in bed with a 16-year-old girl with wine empties laying around.
That's exactly what happened. I'm not proud of that at all. I'm not proud of that at all. But that's what happened. And I try to tell people that and tell people how I've come up a long way and how I've come up a tough road. And they go, ha, 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 ha. Now, what do you say to a man like that? What do you say to a man that laughs in your face after you show him something that you sweated on while you lived in solitary confinement in a dungeon, chained to a wall, bleeding, and you show him the thing that you worked on, and he goes, and he does this. Here, hold on. Like that. I had to put the phone down because the last man, that's exactly how he sounded.
I guess that was me, huh?
Yes, sir.
877-876. I wasn't laughing at you in the middle of any kind of pain, sir. You were in the middle. You were talking about the Middle East. 877-876-PHIL. This is Radio 4 Patriots by Patriots, the world famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Which is considered spiritual counseling by its members.
Can you hold on for a minute?
What?
We're back here on the Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. In the last segment here with Professor Emory Clayton, Minister Farrakhan of the Nation of Islam, as you just said to me, Professor, in this talk that he gave on Sunday, now, let me just say this, and then you can comment, okay? I'm not giving an opinion. I'm just, you know.
Well, you are giving an opinion.
Well, just listen to this, man.
You know something? I don't like being called man, all right? You know, I left my jitterbugging days.
All right, I apologize. Minister Farrakhan praised Scientology and its founder, L. Ron Hubbard. He extolled the virtues of Scientology and its auditing process. L. Ron Hubbard is so exceedingly valuable to every Caucasian person on this earth. L. Ron Hubbard himself was and is trying to civilize white people and make them better human beings and take away from them their reactive minds. Mr. Hubbard recognized that his people have to be civilized, Farrakhan said to a cheering crowd. He's described a 1983 religious experience in which he ascended into a flying saucer and heard the voice of Elijah Muhammad predicting historical events that came to pass. And he, the keynote address titled God Will Send Saviors capped a weekend of workshops focused on health, preparing for natural disasters and unidentified flying objects. The Nation of Islam believes in a UFO called the Wheel or the Mother Plane.
Right. What do you want?
Well, do you agree with that?
No, I don't agree with that. What makes you think, because when Minister Farrakhan says that there's going to be upheaval and uprising in the Middle East and it will travel to America, I mean, a lot of what he says makes sense. There's no denying that. There's no denying. Do I agree 100%? No.
And well, what part do you agree with?
What part do I agree with? You can't deny that there might be people on other planets. Are you trying to deny that?
No, I'm not.
All right. All Minister Farrakhan is saying that if there are people on other planets, get ready. And he's talking about L. Ron Hubbard. You know, I think he said something about Scientology. Makes a lot of sense. All these white people are trying to run down L. Ron Hubbard and say he a charlatan, some kind of a murderer. I mean, they've said all kinds of things about this man. And yet he's the only white man I can think of to come along and talk to other white people and say, you got to get your mind right. Your minds are nothing more than receptacles for garbage. The white man's mind has been a receptacle for garbage for so long. Along comes L. Ron Hubbard to say, let's clean that garbage out. Let's clean that trash out and focus on the flying saucers and the things that are happening. And what do they call them? They call them nuts. So by way of thinking...
All right, hold on. 877-876-PHIL. Jerry in Jacksonville. Go ahead. Jacksonville, North Carolina. Go ahead.
By way of thinking, the man makes sense.
Go ahead, Jerry.
Okay. Mr. Henry, this is the first time I've ever heard your radio show. I will be
yes,
a
sir.
Fan from now on.
Thank
but
you.
I have never heard such a pompous jerk in my life as this so-called professor you have on. I tuned in the middle of this program, and I would like to know where the professor teaches and what he teaches.
I teach at Canyon College, and I teach UFO studies. Excuse me, I teach Caucasian, the history of the Caucasian, UFO studies, and urban studies.
History of the Caucasian.
That's right.
Okay, just to establish my bona fides in order to converse with you, as you have stated that...
I got to go. I own a cab. And the cab
with
he's double parked outside.
No,
yes,
let
sir.
Me...
But, you know,
let me speak.
No, but I've got a cab.
Don't
I've got a cab me. Waiting outside. I'm trying not to, but I got a cab waiting outside. He's double parked.
Phil Hendry, you're rude.
I'm rude. I ordered the cab.
This hour of Phil Hendry is brought to you by Dynapep Micro Energy Shot.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
A take-home lesson from this is that, they were very, very unprofessional.
The State Assembly did their job. Democrats in the Assembly stood up, made their argument.
Yeah, I am on a drug. It's called Charlie Sheen.
Going onto the streets to protest, say that your people have shot him.
Well, I mean, it was just, I think it was something to do with...
That's very tough to swallow.
Stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah! Phil Henry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Where truth is our bitch. Every night here until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And, of course, this is Radio for Patriots by Patriots. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-PHIL. And we're online at philhenryshow.com, where we've been rolling out the new look of our video cast, a new multi-camera special effects look. And a lot more to be revealed on that side, and as well, of course, all the great standards you get from our website, all of the archives, our podcasts, daily podcasts of the show, and of course, video on demand. All of the shows for a 5-day video on demand archive, and our news feed, and our comments section of the news feed, and of course, the guaranteed email response you get from me, Phil Henry.
Yeah, it's a form letter.
You know what? That's the second time you've mentioned that.
Yeah, but it is.
All right, so it's a form letter. I mean, you know what? It had to be this time because we were so swamped. And because I take care of my own mail, and you guys don't, and I won't have you take care of it.
Yeah, what's the point of you doing it, though, if all it's going to be is a form letter?
Well, if that's what it is, that's what it is. You know, I got to stay on top of it, so I'll stay on top of it.
That's what she said.
Isn't that funny?
That's old, man.
Talk about old. Charlie Sheen escalates rants in interviews. His publicist has quit. I was trying to think, when's the last time we've seen a guy lose it in public like this? I mean, when's the last time Britney Spears, you know, I don't know what this guy, this cat sounds like he's bipolar manic, you know.
What's that mean?
Well, they used to call it manic depressive. Manic people are people that go into these states of mania where they have these delusions of grandeur. A lot of them spend a lot of money. They talk a lot. They stay awake for days at a time. They're racing through the streets in their cars. We've probably run into more than a few of them in casinos in Las Vegas. I bet you that place is a magnet for cats like that.
Man, I think Vegas got all kinds of sick people in it.
No kidding. Charlie Sheen has escalated his rants in interviews. His publicist has quit. His publicist is a Jewish chap by the name of Mr. Stan Rosenfield. He quit. He can't take it. He can't listen to this garbage. And what did Sheen do? Called him up of the P word.
Yeah, called him. Call him.
Shut up.
Can't see it, man. How come you can't see that, even if it just means, you know, gutless?
Because it could mean the other thing, and the next thing you know, we got people screaming at us. So actor Charlie Sheen escalated his recent rants against his former 2.5 Men employers, demanding a pay raise and threatening a lawsuit in several TV interviews that caused his spokesman to quit. Sheen, whose erratic behavior has put the future of his top-rated TV comedy in jeopardy, boasted on Monday morning news shows about his partying lifestyle and said he was tired of pretending he's not a total frigging rock star from Mars. Now, understand something. Charlie Sheen is in a hit TV show, but he's not the first guy that's been on a hit TV show. He's on a hit comedy. He's not the first. He's on a show that is number one, but he's not the first. Friends, Jerry Seinfeld, Kelsey Grammer. I mean, all of these people were total freaking rock stars from Mars. Although, Charlie Sheen does have a film career, a more substantial film career, perhaps, than the others. However, Mr. Sheen, sir, I don't think of one movie that you've been in that I went to see it because of you. I don't think anybody's gone to see a movie because you're in it. If you think about the two best movies you were in, Platoon and Wall Street, you didn't make those movies. You weren't even close to being the guy that was the central, exciting component of those films. If you talk about Platoon, it was Willem Dafoe and Tom Berenger. If you talk about Wall Street, it was Michael Douglas. Not you. You were like this irritating, boring add-on that I had to get through.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I'll never forget. He bugged me, man, in those movies. Like, oh, yeah, here comes a scene with that jackass in it. Hours later, his longtime L.A. publicist, Charlie Sheen, we're still talking about here, quit working for the actor.
I thought you were talking about Michael Douglas.
Yeah, that's right. Quit the actor, saying he could no longer do his job. I worked with Charlie Sheen for a long time. I care about him very much. However, this time I'm unable to work effectively as his publicist and have resigned respectfully, Stan Rosenfield said in a statement. Sheen responded by calling him the P word. The 2.5 Men star said he's not allowed to quit, so you're fired. He's not allowed to quit, so you're fired. That's great.
So let's listen to some of this train wreck that is Charlie Sheen these days. In an interview with ABC News' Andrea Canning, Charlie Sheen says he is his own drug.
Yeah, I am on a drug. It's called Charlie Sheen. It's not available because if you try it once, you will die. Your face will melt off and your children will weep over your exploded body. Too much. So I woke up and decided, you know, I've been kicked around. I've been criticized. I've been like the aw shucks guy with like this bitch in rock star life. And I'm just finally going to completely embrace it, wrap both arms around it and love it violently and defend it violently through violent hatred.
Well, Charlie, when you finally wake up from your mania, it ain't going to work. You saying, like so many other people, oh, I was just kidding.
Yeah, he's probably going to say a satire.
Yeah, that's what they'll say.
No, it ain't satire, Charlie. We're way ahead of you on that. When you finally wake up and you go, oh, it was just satire. No. Sheen tells Canning that he's not full of hate or anger, that he's certainly not bipolar. He's just passionate.
Passion.
Okay,
passion.
Your passion, yes, is coming off as erratic,
right,
to people.
Well, you borrow my brain for 5 seconds and just be like, dude, can't handle it. Unplug this bastard, yeah, because it fires in a way that is, I don't know, maybe not from this particular terrestrial realm.
What Some are saying that you're bipolar.
Wow, what does that mean?
I guess that, you know, you're on two ends of the spectrum.
Wow, and then what? What's the cure? Medicine?
Yeah.
Make me like them?
Yes.
Not going to happen. I'm by winning. I went here and I went there. Now what? If I'm bipolar, aren't there moments where a guy like crashes and it's like in the corner, like, oh my God, it's all my mom's fault. Shut up. Shut up. Stop. Move forward.
God, I'd kick his ass. If that was me, oh. Anyway, Sheen says he'll sue CBS and the producers of Two and a Half Men for refusing to pay him for the rest of the season.
They're in breach. They're in radical breach. And sorry, guys, you screwed up.
Are you going to sue?
Well, I mean, wouldn't you? I don't have a job. I got a whole family to support and love. And people beyond myself, people a lot more important than me, are relying on that money to fuel the magic.
What are you going to sue for?
Tons. They're going to actually put it on a scale and be like, little more, a little more. Ah, add some gold. Bingo. I'm here to collect, you know. And they're going to lose. They're going to lose in a courtroom. So I would recommend that they do an out-of-court settlement and fix this whole thing and pay the crew and get season 9 back on board.
Sheen says he's not anti-Semitic, even though he referred to creator Chuck Lorre as Chaim Levine.
Really upset about how something was interpreted that I feel terrible about. So I think we should just clear the air on that. You know, they've been like suddenly labeling me an anti-Semite. It's like people that know me, that there's nothing about that in my history anywhere. Right.
You chose to call him Chaim Levine. You took the Hebrew version, which I think people were wondering, why would he do that?
I would say, you know, I'm sorry if I offended you. I didn't know you were so sensitive. Sorry if I offended you. I just thought, you know, after you wailing on me for 8 years that I could, like, take a few shots back. I didn't know you were going to take your little ball and go home and punish everybody in the process.
Canning asked Sheen when the last time he used drugs was.
I use a blender. I use a vacuum cleaner. I use, household items, this guy's. I'm not here trying to embarrass you or ruin your jobs or ruin the show.
Do they feel you've let them down?
I don't know. I'd be speaking for them, but it would have been nice if there was some measure of support from anybody. Anybody at this point. That's all right, man. Every great movement begins with one man, and I guess that's me.
Well, I mean, if the guy's kidding, it's great. If he's kidding, he's carried it a long way. If he's not, which I suspect he ain't, and he's like, you know, metal. But here's the thing. There's nothing you can do other than kick his ass.
I was going to say, man, what else? How are you going to talk to the guy?
You can't talk to him. You got to just kick his ass.
What do you mean?
I mean, the guy just blah, 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 and then just boom, just a shot, and just put him down. You're not going to talk to him, because everything that comes out of his mouth is this same silly stream of junk, just this same silly, it's a caricature. It's a, let me tell you about a guy like me. I mean, did you hear this cat's voice? That's why I have a hard time sometimes thinking some of these people are serious. This guy is now strayed into the realm of the Fred Phelps Church.
Well, I mean, what do you mean?
I mean, in other words, he's so weird, you think he's got to be joking, right? Remember when I thought that the Fred Phelps Church was kidding?
Yeah.
They're not.
No, they're not. They're not. I thought those people were so extreme and so out of it that they had to be joking, and they're not joking. And she ain't joking.
I mean, just to be me, you know, I mean, it takes a lot, you know. I mean, I'm doing drugs that...
He's talking like I used to hear people talk 40 years ago. He's acting like your most extreme and whack friend used to act. You remember the guy that wound up getting killed in the automobile accident? That friend. You remember the guy that died in an alcoholic coma in jail? That friend. That's the way he sounds to me. He sounds to me like that friend that's tapping on your window at 3 o'clock in the morning. I mean, that would be Charlie Sheen if he didn't have the bread that he has, you know. But this cat is doing this TV show, and it's a very successful show, and he has been keeping it under wraps, and he's been keeping it together, and he has been watching his P's and Q's, and now he doesn't want to do that anymore.
So he don't want to be rich?
Yeah, he doesn't want to be rich. He doesn't want to be employed. He doesn't want to stay out of jail. He doesn't want to stay free of STDs. He doesn't want to stay friends with anybody. He doesn't even really want to be in the film or television business anymore. He wants to be homeless, disheveled, drug addicted and drug addled. He wants to look like one of those faces of meth that you see there on the Channel 5 website. He wants to be a ward of the courts. I mean, that's what this guy wants to be. That's not what he consciously wants to be, but that's where he's headed.
Well, how do you figure that?
What do you mean, how do I figure that, bud? Listen to the guy.
You know, he don't want to have to answer to nobody.
He doesn't want to have to answer to anybody. He doesn't want to have... He says, I'm tired of being... what he calls under wraps. All right, so what's over wraps, man? That means that you're not wrapped too tight is what that means. That means you want to do drugs, you want to have hookers, you want to spend money, you don't want to have anybody telling you anything. Even to the extent where I just heard him say about his co-stars, the people that are with him on his TV show, boy, they haven't even... Look at me, I'm out here doing this for you guys. I'm out here doing this for you guys. There might have been a long-running feud with the showrunner, this man, Mr. Lorre. There might have been a bunch of actors getting together after the taping. There might have been a lot of actors getting together after shows and saying, oh, we really hate these people, you know. But to the point where you are public and talking away like Sheen is, I don't know. All right, we'll be back here on a world-famous Phil Henry show. So that's Sheen. We can talk some more about him. We also have the Academy Awards, which... they weren't too good. I mean, the movies were good and the awards were good, but the Academy Awards show itself kind of blew, and it was, in terms of ratings, it wasn't a great night, but we'll try to keep it on the positive, sort of. World-famous Phil Henry Show, Patriot Radio, real radio for patriots by patriots. We'll be right back.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and still lots more to come in our news hour with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. On the line with me from the Western Estates Homeowners Association is Bobby Dooley. I know that, Bobby, you've been working on the publishing of a children's book, and there is a little bit of the story here.
Yeah.
That you wanted to get out in front of?
Exactly, Phil. We do have... we've got a date, I think. Steve, if you got off the phone with him?
Yeah, he said probably on the 12th.
March 12th is the date for the interviews we're going to be doing. We're going to do some media for Mommy and Daddy, What Happens When You Go to Sleep, which is a book that Steve and I both collaborated on. It was my idea to write a children's book that for the very first time, Phil, would make sense to a child, I think, when we talk about how babies are made and how mommy and daddy relate to each other, and so forth. The most innocent of sex education for children from 8 and under.
Okay, 8 and under is the target.
That is the target readership. And, of course, when you're talking about children's books, you are talking about targeting the mothers. So these are women in their mid to late 20s to early 30s, and even older. A lot of women who are having children a little bit later on. So we are going to begin the press on March 12th. The book is out now in, I think, where is it, Steve?
Barnes & Noble got it.
Well, what was the story that you wanted to get out in front of?
The book, some of the issues of the book, I think there was a printing and it's in Barnes & Noble. The book, I believe, has references to, there's two words, I think, that were used. And we're very, very sorry. And there was a photograph as well. So we're doing what we can to take care of that. But
When you say there were a couple of words?
Well, two words, again, this is a book for children. And so we are trying to take care of the copies that the words got into.
What were they?
I'm sorry?
What were the words?
The words were lube. One of them was lube.
Lube and anal.
Lube and anal. And there was a photograph, I think.
A lady in a had a girdle. Give it.
I'll do it. Had a girdle and she was in bondage.
This is in a children's book?
It really, things got so absolutely confused. I don't know what happened.
So this is in a children's book?
Yes, yes.
And in what context?
I don't know, Mr. Henry. All we know is anal and lube.
The book is really a very, very good book, and that's why I wanted to mention, if you buy the book, and I very much do recommend that you buy this book for your 8-year-old or younger, it is a beautiful discussion for children on how mommy and daddy relate to each other when you go to sleep, meaning the children. And
all right, so it's a book about, it's not a, you wouldn't call it a sex education book?
It's a very appropriate, very, very age-appropriate book.
But not with the words anal and lube.
No, and that got into the first printing.
That got into the first printing, so we're warning people.
And how many copies is that?
Probably about 10,000.
So there's 10,000 books. Yeah.
Got into the first printing.
Well, I can tell you, Phil, it was an intern that worked for me who was helping me with some of the editing and copying. She has been fired. I want people to know that so that they can have confidence that, yes, they may buy the book and they may see these repeated references to lube and these pictures. But the intern that was fired, interestingly enough, worked for, I believe worked for or was a volunteer for Nancy Pelosi's campaign. So,
well, look, I'm not interested in what political campaign.
Well, it's very significant, man. References to lube.
All right, hold on for a minute. I'm not interested in whether or not she worked for Nancy Pelosi. Repeated references to lube. We'll be back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Wow, man.
Phil Hendry. Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And welcome back as well online here on Radio for Patriots by Patriots. Go to philhenryshow.com. Take a look at our live streaming video. And we are now into our second generation of Phil TV. Our video casts are now enhanced, multi-camera, special effects, and we've got even more. More to come here on the brand new Phil TV, part of our webcast and a part of our website at philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. That's how you are a part of all of that. So the Academy Awards, huh? The much maligned Academy Awards. Every year we hear there's something wrong with the Academy Awards. Even when a guy hits it out of the park as the host, like so many times, I thought Billy Crystal would hit it out of the park. Every year somebody complained. Oh, this joke, that joke, something else. Or they didn't like something that somebody said. They're always bitching about something when it comes to the Academy Awards. So they really teed it up for them on this one when they had James Franco and Anne Hathaway as the hosts. Now, I thought that they had every right in the world to have whoever they want to host it. And they got those two kids to do it. These are two good actors. They didn't want to have Ricky, and they didn't want to have Steve Martin, who was funnier than hell, and Gervais is funny. And they didn't want to go back to Billy Crystal, and they didn't want to go and have, who was the one that just stunk it out?
Whoopi.
Oh, yeah, Whoopi sucked. And who else sucked? Didn't they have Letterman do it one year? Oh, God, Letterman was horrifying. Ellen DeGeneres. I don't know what they want, though. You know, what do they call a good job? I don't think, when I say Letterman is horrifying, I shouldn't have said that, because I don't remember him doing such a bad job, other than the fact that that one Una Oprah.
Yeah, that was a stupid joke.
All right, so it was a stupid joke, but Hugh Jackman one year, Jon Stewart did it one year, Alec Baldwin and Steve Martin did it last year. I don't think they should have teamed up Alec Baldwin and Steve Martin. They should have just had Steve Martin do it. But what are you going to do? So they tried something different this year. The TV audience declined 10% to 37.6 million. It was a drop from last year. The 3D film Avatar was setting box office records and sparking interest in the annual ceremony. So I guess you can imagine that that's going to happen. The audience for last night's Oscar telecast on Walt Disney Company's ABC went from 41.7 million last year to 37.6 million this year. The audience for the annual award show, typically the most watched U.S. program after the Super Bowl and the National Football League playoffs, waxes and wanes with the popularity of the films at the box office. Last year, Avatar, released in 2009, was one of the 10 films nominated for Best Picture. Remember they had 10 nominations?
Oh, yeah, that's right, man. How come? Did they do that this year?
I don't think they had 10, no. In 2010, U.S. box office sales fell slightly to $10 billion, bolstered by higher 3D ticket prices, while attendance slid 5%. Attendance in 2011 is already down 22%. In last night's show, hosted by actors Anne Hathaway and James Franco, the King's Speech was crowned Best Picture, and its leading man, Colin Firth, won the Oscar for Best Actor. And director Tom Hooper and writer David Siedler also captured statuettes for their work on the film. Which, by the way, I thought Firth and Siedler, those are the best speeches. I know you guys didn't like it.
I don't even know that movie. That was a very interesting movie.
That movie was a great movie. And I understand why people don't think it was interesting. And that's too bad for them. And when they said it was an edgy, you know, I heard people say, well, that wasn't an edgy movie to do. That was a very safe movie. No, it wasn't. Avatar, hello? Social Network, hello? The King's Speech? What makes that a safe movie? That's anything but a sure thing. The show, anyway, wasn't that good. Anyway, Social Network won awards for Best Score and Best Adapted Screenplay, while the mega hit Inception took home several technical awards for its mind-blowing special effects. But that was it, which we predicted. And
you said you didn't like that movie.
I thought I didn't like it. No, I didn't like it at all. The top honors for 2010 films went to pictures made with modest budgets that went on to produce considerable box office. The King's Speech was made for $15 million. It took in $237 million in global ticket sales. That's pretty damn good. Now, what do you think made that movie popular?
Because the guy stuttered.
Because the guy stuttered. I bet you what made that movie popular, though, was because of the stuttering.
Yeah.
Yeah, but probably a lot of people can identify.
probably a lot of people did identify with that, you know. And it was a heroic story, but there's a lot of heroic stories out there. But this was one about a guy with a stutter that went on to, you know, inspire people. All right, here is actor James Franco. You judge for yourselves. I mean, look at folks. What do you want? The guy's not a comic. Here is Franco and here is Anne Hathaway. They co-hosted last night's Academy Awards, and this morning they were panned by critics. Here's a clip from their opening monologue.
Hollywood's biggest night!
And it's very exciting for both of us because we're both nominated.
Actually, James, I'm not nominated tonight.
Oh, come on, Anne, don't be so modest.
No, I'm not modest. I'm just not nominated. You know,
all right.
It used to be you get naked, you get nominated. Not anymore. Not anymore.
Okay. And then the Daily Beast's Tina Brown was not a fan of last night's Oscar broadcast. She pans the awards on MSNBC's Morning Joe. In other words, Tina Brown doing what she does best, stating the obvious.
Well, I mean, it was just, I think it was something to do with the little shiny-lipped, sort of radiant, you know, utterly devoid of any real humor.
Oh,
wow. Hathaway. And then this kind of seized up, you know, completely,
whoa,
you know, the backstage bong had incapacitated his head, you know.
Okay.
I don't know, but they were addressed.
What'd she say? Bong hitting?
Yeah.
Is that what she said?
Yeah, no, either bong hitting or she said ball.
No, don't say that. Okay, so thanks very much, Tina. That's the Academy Awards story. I thought we had another one, man. Oh, well, we had the King's Speech. I think I read that. It's the same clip. See, King's Speech took in the big ones. Yeah, we already mentioned all that stuff. So great. Congratulations to the winners, whatever. And next year, nobody's going to remember, man. Who won? You know who won Best Picture the year before this past one? Who won Best Actor?
What?
Who won Best Actor?
Jeff Bridges. He's right.
Yes, you're right.
I know, because you said Jeff Bridges might not win it two in a row, and the last guy to do is Spencer Tracy.
All right. Well, then who won Best Actress?
I don't know.
Aha. Well, anyway. Yeah, the last guy to win two in a row was Spencer Tracy. Meanwhile, back in the real world, Gaddafi clings to power amid growing support for protests. Embattled Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi, a very bizarre man with a strange family. It's just a strange part of the world. We don't understand it, and we don't understand it. All we know is that the people there are much like us. They want to be able to do stuff that they want to do and go to jobs they want to go to and have a nice country, and everybody is reasonably well off, and maybe there's some poor people. We try to help them, and you know, when we can. They want to have like a normal country, not some place ruled by this freak.
You're this guy wearing a sunglass, everything.
He's a weird ass. This is some kind of these guys with their ego trips, and they're all the same. They're all megalomaniacal. They all believe that they and only they are the saviors of their people. I mean, what's the difference between this cat and Hussein? And then, on top of everything else, the propaganda school that these guys graduate from, you'd swear to God it's the same one that they all go to. Are you embattled? No. Are there protests in the streets? Not at all. I don't know. Where are you getting that idea? Like Ahmadinejad. Oh, did you think that, you know, did you see all the people that were out there? Oh, these are just hooligans like after a soccer match. That's what this guy said. It was like when we invaded Iraq and they interviewed that propaganda guy. The American troops are near the capital. They're near Baghdad. They're nowhere near here. And you could look over his shoulder through the window at a tank taking aim on his ass.
Really?
Yes, really. Embattled Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi flatly denied Monday the existence of the protests threatening to end his 41-year rule as reports of fighting between government forces and rebels raged another day. In a joint interview with ABC News' Christian Amanpour and the BBC, Gaddafi also denied using force against his people. Excerpts of the interview were posted on the network's websites. There are no demonstrations at all in the streets, said Gaddafi. Here he is telling the BBC's Jeremy Brown, there haven't been any protests in Libya at all.
Some who've gone out onto the streets to protest say that your people have shot at them.
No demonstration at all in the streets.
انت شفت مظاهرات؟
Have you seen? Did you see the demonstrations?
Yes, I have. Yes.
Where?
I saw some today. I saw some in Zawiya yesterday. I saw demonstrations.
Are they supporting us?
No, they're not supporting
us. They are not against us.
Some were against you, and some were for you.
No, no one against us. Against me for what? Because I am not president.
Because you're a slob and a swine, because they want to drag you by your feet behind a Jeep and hang you up in a gas station like they did Mussolini. Don't you understand?
Who's Mussolini?
He was the guy that ran Italy in World War II. They hung his ass from a gas station.
What?
They hung him upside down from a gas station.
What for?
Because the guy was a douchebag. That's what for. Oh, yeah, man. Look what they did to Saddam Hussein, man. They stretched his neck. They didn't give him any respect. Gaddafi tells ABC News' ABC News, why can't I read that? Christian Amanpour, that his people adore him.
They love me, all my people with me. They love me all.
But if they do love
me... They will die to protect me and my people.
If you say they do love you, then why are they capturing Benghazi and they say they're against you there? Why are they...
It is Gaida, not my people. It is Gaida.
Gaida,
yes.
Gaida.
They came from outside.
Wow. I mean, these guys, do they believe that crap? I don't know. But that's the school of propagandizing that they come from, which is just keep on saying the same horse dung and someone's going to buy it sooner or later. It happens in America. You see it happen all the time in this country. Just keep beating keep beating your jaws about the same horse manure. And each side accuses the other of it, but each side is, you know, only here on Radio for Patriots by Patriots will we tell you the truth. And Gaddafi, if he's lucky, will not wind up hanging from a gas station, I'm telling you.
Yeah, tell me about that sometime.
That's what they did to the guy, man. They killed him and his mistress, Mussolini, right?
Yeah.
And somehow, after they killed him, they shot him. They shot him in what they call a summary execution, okay? They said, Benito Mussolini, you're guilty of all these crimes. Pow! You're dead. Then they took him, and they hauled him up like he was a side of beef, swinging from, a rope at a gas station, a petrol station in the mountains in Italy. And the people came around. There were thousands, hundreds of them at least, and there were American soldiers there taking pictures. And there was old Benito and his mistress dangling and swinging away, man.
Man, I think I've seen a picture of that now.
Yeah. Oh, there's pictures of that everywhere. They say that that's what prompted Hitler to commit suicide. They say Hitler saw those pictures. He said, no way they're going to do that to me. I ain't going to let them do that to me. And they say that's what prompted Hitler to kill himself. So the Italian, nice going, Italians. We could have captured it. I'm kidding. All right, we'll be back here in the world-famous Phil Henry Show for some closing thoughts. Low-flow toilets cause a stink in San Francisco. Are you sure it's the toilets? We'll be back. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445. And I just thought of something, man. I hope our Orban card made it, you know?
What?
The Orban, man. I hope we got the limiter. Anyway, welcome back here, and don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com. And just a few more stories here as we conclude on this here Monday night. Low-flow toilets cause a stink in San Francisco as skimping on toilet water results in more sludge in sewer pipes. Well, of course. Of course. San Francisco's big push for low-flow toilets has turned into a multi-million dollar stink. Skimping on toilet water has resulted in more sludge backing up inside the sewer pipes, said Tyrone Jew, spokesman for the city public... What?
You said Jew.
That's his name, all right? J-U-E. For the... God.
What are you doing, man? Every time a guy says Jew?
Yeah, well, you gotta be careful.
No, you don't have to be careful about saying the J-U-E. Spokesman for the City Public Utilities Commission. That has created a rotten egg stench near AT&T Park and elsewhere, especially during the summer dry months. Oh, baby. The city's already spent $100 million over the past 5 years to upgrade its sewer system and sewage plants, in part to combat the odor problem. Now officials are stocking up on a $14 million three-year supply of highly concentrated sodium hypochlorite, better known as bleach, to act as an odor eater and to disinfect the city's treated water before it's dumped into the bay. It will also be used to sanitize drinking water. Now, that translates into 8.5 million pounds of bleach either being poured down the city drains or into the drinking water supply every year, and not everybody thinks it's a good idea. So isn't it funny how this is what when we talk about getting bum rushed into all of these marvelous solutions for all of these terrible things, and I'm telling you, we get like just beat over the head.
Oh no, you got to do that. You better don't use it. Low flush. You gotta. Come on. Hurry.
And so we get all, you know, hey, okay, I got my low-flow toilets, and I got my low-flush toilet, and I got my, my low-flow shower head, and I got, yeah. Now, all of a sudden, man, you got crap backed up in the San Francisco pipeline, baby, like mud.
Oh, man.
That's right. And guess what? Some poor bastard, some poor city worker has got to go down there and unplug it.
Probably like Ed Norton.
Yeah, Ed Norton. What do you mean, Ed Norton?
You worked in New York anyway.
Ed Norton. Just think of that, man. Ed Norton's the guy that had to go down there and do that. Oh, God. Don't bleach. Oh, look at this. Don't bleach our bay. What, you guys are coming up against the folks that said, low flush your toilet because we have a damn drought. This is California stuff, folks. Believe me when I tell you that for many of you, when you hear news out of California and you shake your heads, I know exactly what you're thinking. And I'm from here. Now, I ain't saying anything about San Francisco being a weird town. That's got nothing to do with that. Because this is a problem that comes up really all across the country when we get hurried into these solutions for the environmental benefit of mankind. And we, get our solution, which is a low flush toilet, and now the whole town stinks to high heaven. So they rush to clean that up, and now they're bleaching the bay. What you got to learn how to do is live with the stink, man.
Oh, dude, you can't. Why should I do that just because I want to have environmental and everything?
You know what? I moved into a house. I think I told you guys this story. I had a home, and there were two or three homes below my home. And they were on, it was a very uneven neighborhood. I lived on a hill, and then you had to go down a hill to these two or three homes. And then my home was actually the highest one, and then all the way down the street, the homes descended in elevation. Well, what we had was a sewer pumping system that pumped sewage up from the homes on the lower part of this hill up to a point right next to my house, man, right where the streets intersected. My house is on that corner.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this sewage got pumped up and would stall sometimes halfway up the hill. And baby, when the wind was up and the wind was right,
yeah, just like a nice rotten egg, huh?
Oh yeah, yeah. On a nice dry, still air summer morning, the stink would knock you out, man. It would knock a buzzard right off the back of a garbage wagon. And they had to go down there, and they had to fix this pump so that it started. It's pumping this stuff up the hill, then it's got to pump it down the hill. So, sewers and you don't want to dump that crap in the bay, that's for sure. But you sure as hell, you're going to have to get used to the solution, man. The solution is this, You can clean it up, all right, but you ain't dumping any bleach in the bay. You just have to live with the stink. And that's what we say here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. That's what we say on this show, Radio for Patriots by Patriots. Sometimes the greatest thing you can do is just live with the stink. Oh, sure, it could be the stink of a bad sewage system. It could be the stink of a bad political decision. It could be the stink of a president, a vice president, or a Congress. Sometimes you just have to take a deep breath. Until tomorrow, this is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. No, forget it.